Have you ever tried to snow ski? How about roller skating? Have you tried that? Very few people develop these skills without falling down a lot. In fact, skiers and skaters could tell you about their bumps and bruises all day. Well, today on Insightful Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a practical message he started yesterday. In Joshua 8, we witness grave mistakes made by God's people. It's a vivid lesson on how to recover from falling, no matter how guilty you feel. Chuck called his message, What to Do After You've Blown It, and we begin with prayer.
Dear Father, we are grateful for your grace meeting us in our need, often in our brokenness, frequently following failure. But you're there not to chide us, but ready to forgive us and send us on our way. We call it what you have called it, grace. For where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Where we fall and fail, you are there to hear and forgive and lift us up. Remind us of that again and again through this morning, especially those who are hearing the sound of my voice and are in retreat, discouraged, broken, disappointed in themselves, momentarily forgetting that your grace is sufficient for our every need. I pray today for those who live alone, that you will be for them a companion, a friend that sticks closer than a brother or sister, a caring presence that brings hope where hope seems lost, and mercy in the midst of misery. Take away the loneliness and replace it with encouragement and refreshment. I pray for those who are struggling. Many have tried again and again and yet again, only to fail again. Remind them especially that you are constantly at work and you never reach your end of giving and providing. And rather than our arguing with you and answering back or pushing back, may we be still and remember that you are God and you do all things well. So help us to tell our souls to be still and to come and to accept what you offer so that we might go on through this week with a whole new attitude. Thank you in advance, Father, for what you will do in the moments that lie ahead. May we meditate on your great grace. In the name of Christ, I pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insightful Living. To dig deeper into the book of Joshua with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightfulliving.org.uk. And now the message from Chuck that's called, What to Do After You've Blown It.
You'll never learn to walk in victory if you lie there in defeat. Emphasis on lie there. Joshua 8 is a chapter of a group of people that learned how to get back up. And did they learn what victory was all about? As I read through these first several verses, I didn't go much further than verse 7, verse 8, and I realized there's the message. There it is for all of us. What to do when you've blown it? And had they blown it? They race unprepared into Ai. They didn't pray. They didn't make plans with the Lord. They didn't talk to him. They didn't seek his mind. They went overconfident because of Jericho and how it had fallen into their hands. And they got to Ai and realized they were overmatched. They didn't bring enough warriors. And they were in retreat. And to make matters altogether worse, they lose 36 of their best men in retreat. And I see here now in these first seven verses, five very helpful principles to remember when you've blown it. So here we are with the Lord speaking to Joshua, and he says to him, do not be afraid or discouraged. Here's the first principle to remember. After you have fallen and you're finally back on your feet, remember this, listen to the Lord and not your guilty conscience. Your guilty conscience will remind you again and again what a failure you are, what a fool to think you can ever be worth much. Those are all a pack of lies. If you put them all together, the enemy wants you to hear them and hear them often. Listen to the Lord, not the Lord's counsel, not your guilty conscience. Here's the second. Middle of verse 1. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai. I've given it to you. The principle. Include others as you return to your responsibilities. Include others. You see, life's battles are not meant to be fought alone. I noticed one thing about those who are living in their guilt. They've drawn their shades, they've locked their doors, and they pushed people away. You become loners when you let your failures control you. He says, take all your men. Get them all together. Don't take on this battle with a few or alone. Take all these around you. Don't do it alone. You're weakest when you are alone. Your mind plays tricks on you. You will fight this because when you've blown it, you'll feel, I'm not worthy of it. Give up the I'm not worthy lines, okay? We all know that. The Lord knows that. Give that up. You don't hear a word from Joshua when the Lord gives him these directions. Take all your men and attack Ai. There's motivation in that word attack. You're not going to ease in as if it's not that big a deal. You're going to take it on because I'm going to give it to you. In fact, that brings me to this third principle that I want you to note. Third, draw strength from what the Lord promises you. Let his grace overwhelm you. Look at how he puts it toward the end of this first verse. I've given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise worth claiming. Claim it. Believe it. Stop wallowing there on your back, reminding him of all you've done wrong. He's telling you what he's going to do for you. And he's unloading the truck, if you will. Now, here's the fourth principle. You'll see it in verse 2. Let me read the verse. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king, but this time, notice the difference. You may keep its plunder, and the livestock for yourselves. He goes on to describe the way they will attack. Before he gets there, let me give you the principle. Be willing and ready to receive even more than you had before you fell. Be willing and ready to receive even more. More opportunities, more grace, more gifts. Remember before when they took Jericho? Don't touch the plunder. You either burn it, or if it's valuable, like silver, gold, bronze, or iron, that's to go in the Lord's treasury. None of it's yours. That's where Achan went bad. He took the garment and he took some silver and gold. You remember that. He was to take none of it. When they go into Ai, take everything. It's yours. Even the livestock. So when they got back to the camp after Ai, they had more than they had had before they left. It's called grace, and I love it that he does that for us. I'll repeat, because we're not on probation, he continues to give it to us again and again. We have trouble receiving. We have trouble believing. Even though he writes verses like this, we think, well, that's good for Joshua. How great it was for the Hebrews. How encouraging. This isn't given just for them. These are principles for us today. When he gives to us today, he gives and gives and gives again. Now, before I read this fifth and final principle, I want to read the verses. He tells them to set up an ambush. End of verse 2. Read it now. Follow along. Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. Joshua, look at the difference, chose 30,000. Before he took 3,000. Now he's taking his best warriors, and now they're going to fight at night. That's different. So they went out at night, and with these orders, hide in ambush. The main army and I will go, and when we go before the people of Ai, they will come out. They will come out as they did before, and we will run from them, says in verse 5. Verse 6, we will let them chase us. Notice it's a deliberate running, looking like a retreat, until we have drawn them away from the town, because they will say the Israelis are running away from us as they did before. Then while we are running and they empty the city, you come in and take the town in ambush. Take possession of everything there, because the Lord your God is giving it to you. I read that and read it and read it. What is the principle here? Well, the thing that stood out to me is how different this was from the battle at Jericho. Remember the Jericho? Sure you do. They walked around once a day for 6 days. The seventh day, they walked around 7 times, blew those horns, shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. They went into the city and conquered. All of that during the daytime. This has nothing about circling the city, nothing about horns, nothing about numbers like 1 or 7, nothing about the priests. This is a night attack. This is an ambush. And they catch the people unawares. And it's a whole different approach. So here's the principle. Be open and flexible as you recover from your failure. The Lord may lead you in a completely different direction than you were going before you failed. That's a mouthful. It's so practical. If you're involved in a ministry and you fail, you fall in that ministry, you may forfeit the right to do what you did before. But you may be involved in another phase of ministry, completely different type, just as they were involved in a different type of warfare. If you're in business and you fail in this and you fall on your face, and you may even serve time as a result of the failure. When you come out and you're on your own again, you have a whole new beginning. You may search out another kind of business altogether. Interesting, at Dallas Seminary, where I'm still attached these days, we notice that there are a number of people in second careers, and they are taking courses even though they're middle-aged, some of them in their 50s and 60s, taking on a whole new direction in life. Doesn't necessarily mean they failed in the former, but my point is there's a whole new direction for them, and they're excited about that. They've never studied theology before, never gone into the languages of the scriptures. And yet, now that they're in this whole new direction, they're excited about a redirection. You may be led into a counseling ministry, and you've never counseled before. You may be led into a ministry in the arts, and you were never doing that before. He's leading you in a whole new direction. That adds excitement to the whole new beginning. That's a whole new reference in life for you. Be open to that. Let it be. Don't think that now that you have come back, you need to do just what you did before. In fact, think something different from that. Think, what difference is the Lord going to make now that he is using me in this whole new way? Be open to that. Let me carefully and slowly review these principles. Then I want to apply it in one further way before we're through. Here we go. Number one, listen to the Lord's counsel and not your guilty conscience. Remember, don't fear, don't be discouraged. Listen to his counsel rather than your own conscience. Number two, include others as you return to your responsibilities. Battles are not to be fought alone. Rarely does the Lord send us on a solo journey into something that is challenging. Take a partner with you. Dig the foxhole big enough for two other people, not just one. The battle can get pretty heated. Go with others. Number three, draw strength from what the Lord promises you. Let his grace overwhelm you. Be ready to say yes and thank you, rather than, I'm not deserving of that, or I shouldn't be given this opportunity. No, take that opportunity. It's his way of opening doors for you. Remember, you're forgiven. You're not on probation. Number four, be willing and ready to receive even more than you had before. The Lord is ready to give you more than you had the first time. You're forgiven. His grace is marvelous. Finally, be open and flexible to recover from your failure. You may be moving in a new direction. Be willing to do that. Be open to it. Sometimes second careers are far more fulfilling than your initial career. Sometimes it's a third career you pursue, and it's even more exciting. Now, my final application. You've heard all your life, as I have, that the bird with a broken pinion will never fly so high again. Remember hearing that? I heard it all the way through my childhood. The bird with a broken pinion never flies so high again. That's got guilt written all over it. It's a lie. That's nonsense. First of all, we're not birds. And we don't have wings. So, not being birds, we are valuable human beings. Valuable human beings who have eternal souls. And the Lord takes delight in doing things in our souls. He wants to use you and develop you and cultivate you. And the scars you have learned and gained from your failures will give you wisdom to minister and to serve and to lead and to be involved in others' lives far more effectively. So remember, not being a bird, you will fly high again. You may soar higher than ever before in your life. Second, you're not flying, you're walking, and you're taking it one day at a time. And remember, you're walking as a fallen human being, meaning you'll fail again. But rather than being surprised or fearful of that, understand that's part of being human. You will never get to the place where you have perfected life. Since you're fallen and forgiven, God is faithful to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. I find great encouragement in that. By the way, I do have a word of warning to some of you. There are some of you who may never really soar unless you turn to Christ. You see, we're not made to make it, as I said earlier, on our own, and that's true into eternity. You may pretty well stumble along through life, but you won't stumble along through eternity. You either have a destiny that's sure with the Lord or it's not. And you can know that kind of destiny. You can have that kind of assurance. The Lord is yours if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to clean up or dress up or make up or put something together to somehow get ready for him. He takes you just like you are, sins and all. All of your track record being what it is, he accepts you like you are. So I urge you to trust him. Come just as you are, and Christ will accept you into his family. As you trust in Christ and him alone for eternal life. Bow with me, please. Let's sit quietly before the Lord for a few moments. Are you absolutely certain that Jesus is your Savior, your Master? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you were to die this night, you would be in the presence of the Lord? You can know that. But it doesn't come by just thinking positively or listening to sermons, even reading a Bible. It comes by an act of the will. A prayer begins it all. Dear Lord, I'm lost. Made a mess of my life, I'm sinful, and I'm coming just as I am to you. And I trust Christ as my own Savior. Thank you for coming into my life. Help me now as I walk with you to learn how to do that and to do that well for your glory. Thank you for forgiving me and accepting me into your family. If we can help you with this decision, that's why we exist. I often tell people, that's why we're here. Connect with us and we'll help you go from there to where you want to be in the Christian life. Thank you, Father, for speaking today in such simple, direct, and practical terms. May we learn to listen to your counsel. May we include others in our return to responsibilities. May we draw strength from what you have promised us. May we be willing and ready to receive even more than we had before we have failed. May we be open and flexible to whatever change you have for us in our lives. Now encourage us, I pray, as we begin this walk with you, reminding ourselves that we need not remain on our faces, broken and discouraged, but on our feet, walking with you. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray these things. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insightful Living. Today's message from Chuck Swindoll is called What to Do After You've Blown It. It's just one of nine messages in a brand new series from Chuck, never shared on Insightful Living until now. And the series will conclude next week. To download the MP3 files for this study in Joshua, go online to insightfulliving.org.uk. Be sure to look for the series called Moving Ahead Together with a Winning Mindset. The series is also available on CDs. Now maybe you find yourself in the aftermath of a messy situation. Perhaps you carry a heavy load of regret because of a mistake you've made. Whatever the case, Chuck wrote a book that's been helpful to countless readers around the world. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? In this book, Chuck addresses a wide variety of unwanted circumstances, and he explains how God might want us to cope with them. I highly recommend this book to you. Again, it's called What If God Has Other Plans? And you can request a copy today by going to insightfulliving.org.uk, or you can call us on 0800 787 9364. And finally, let me say thanks to all those who've given generously in recent days. Your contributions are truly making a difference. In fact, over the summer, we received hundreds of comments from all around the world. Every single day, Insightful Living reaches all around the globe through radio, the internet, and all the digital platforms at our disposal. This is made possible through the voluntary support of friends like you. In fact, we couldn't do this without you. So, as God prompts you to join the team and financially support this locally registered charity, well, we invite you to send your contribution to Insightful Living UK, P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH4 9EU. Once again, that's P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH4 9EU. To give online, simply go to insightfulliving.org.uk. I'm Terry Boyle, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll describes your age as the ticket to adventure. That's our topic tomorrow on Insightful Living. The preceding message, What to Do After You've Blown It, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.